Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, April 30th. And coming up in today's episode, former Aam Aadmi Party ministers face corruption probe over a Rs 2000 crore classroom project. Supreme Court declares digital access a fundamental right, orders inclusive KYC reforms for people with disabilities. Haryana urges Punjab to release Bhakra water, warns of supply overflow to Pakistan. And Trump talks up India trade deal as US-China tariff war escalates. Former Delhi ministers and senior Aam Aadmi Party leaders Manish Sisodia and Satinder Jain are under fresh scrutiny in connection with an alleged 2,000 crore rupees classroom construction scam. The Anti-Corruption Branch or ECB of Delhi Police has formally registered a case of corruption against the two leaders and launched an extensive investigation. According to ECB Chief Madhur Verma, the probe will also examine the role of unidentified government officials and private contractors. Quote, "We are conducting a thorough investigation to determine the involvement of all individuals connected to the case," said Mr. Verma. At the time the project was carried out, Mr. Sisodia left the education portfolio in Delhi government, while Mr. Jain was minister overseeing the Public Works Department, the body responsible for executing such construction work. The ECB's findings suggest that more than 12,000 classrooms and associated school buildings were built at inflated costs, leading to suspected financial irregularities totaling 2,000 crore. The contracts were reportedly handed to 34 firms, many of which are said to have links with the Aam Aadmi Party. Officials noted that the failure to complete construction within the stipulated time frame further escalated costs. Quote, "These classrooms were constructed using the semi-permanent structure or SPS model, expected to last around 30 years. An ECB official said, quote, "However, the expenses were comparable to permanent concrete classrooms, which typically have a lifespan of 75 years. Further irregularities came to light regarding the appointment of consultants and architects. The ECB stated that standard procedures were not followed during the hiring, contributing to an unnecessary cost escalation. The investigation began following complaints by several Bharatiya Janata Party leaders who alleged that the cost classroom construction had risen nearly fivefold. A report by the Central Vigilance Commission, CVC, also flagged several discrepancies in the project. According to the ECB, this report was under wraps for nearly 3 years. The CVC findings reveal that the cost of constructing SPS classrooms was Rs 2,992 per square foot, close to the 2,044 to 2,400 per square foot cost of permanent structures. Additionally, the project's overall budget was increased by 326 crore without issuing new tenders, the report said. As the investigation moves on, we don't have a reaction from Aam Aadmi Party leadership at the time of the recording. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court of India has declared that digital access is a fundamental right and directed the state to ensure inclusive digital infrastructure for all citizens, especially those from rural and marginalized backgrounds. The judgment was delivered by a bench comprising Justice J.B. Pardiwala and Justice R. Mahadevan. The court was hearing two public interest litigations, or PILs, one of which was filed by acid attack survivor Pragya Prasoon. She had faced significant hurdles in completing the Know Your Customer or KYC process at a bank due to severe facial disfigurement. Her experience formed the basis for a wider conversation around digital exclusion of people with disabilities. Justice Mahadevan, who authored the judgment, has stated, "The right to digital access emerges as a distinct component of the right to life and liberty, necessitating that state proactively design and implement an inclusive digital ecosystem, not only for the privileged, but also for the marginalized, who are being historically excluded." The court observed that access to vital services such as healthcare, banking and welfare schemes is now heavily dependent on digital platforms. It ruled that constitutional right to life under Article 21 must be interpreted in the context of modern technological realities. One of the PILs highlighted a case of Ms. Prasoon, who in July 2023 was unable to complete the digital KYC process at a bank. The process required her to blink during a live photo capture to prove she was present. Due to her injuries, however, she could not fulfill the requirement, adding more trauma. Following public outcry, the bank eventually made an exception for her case. In its order, the court noted, petitioners who suffer from acid attacks and blindness have been unable to complete the KYC process due to facial disfigurements. Constitutional provisions confer a statutory right on the petitioners to be accommodated. The bench issued 20 directions to the government to revise KYC procedures and make them accessible to people with disabilities and those facing unique challenges. It also emphasized the need to update digital systems in line with accessibility standards and inclusive design. Justice Pardiwala praised his colleague's ruling, calling it brilliant, as the court reiterated that bridging the digital divide is no longer a policy choice, but a constitutional obligation. As tensions rise over water sharing in northern India, Haryana has appealed to neighbouring Punjab to release drinking water from Bhakra Reservoir. Haryana Water Resources Minister Dr. Abhay Singh Saini has warned that if water is not released before the monsoon, the excess will flow into Pakistan via Hari Ke Patan, potentially wasting vital resources. Quote, "It is necessary to empty the Bhakra Dam Reservoir before June so that rainwater can be stored during the monsoon. If there is no space left, the excess water will go to Pakistan, which is neither in interest of Punjab nor the nation." The appeal comes in the wake of India's suspension of the Indus Waters Treaty with Pakistan following the Pahalgam terror attack in Jammu and Kashmir on 22nd April, in which 26 civilians were killed. The Bhakra Dam is one of the key reservoirs covered under the treaty. Highlighting the broader impact, Mr. Saini added, and I quote, "The supply of drinking water to Delhi will also be affected." He alleged that while the Aam Aadmi Party was in power in Delhi, the Punjab government had raised no objections to water being supplied to the capital. Quote, "Now that there is no Aam Aadmi Party government, why is the Maan government punishing the people of Delhi?" Unquote. Responding to Punjab's claim that Haryana exhausted its share of water in March, Mr. Saini countered, "We have not received our full share." He clarified that the water released by the Bhakra Bias Management Board, 500 Q6 were sent to Delhi, 800 to Rajasthan, 400 to Punjab, leaving Haryana with 6,800 Q6. Quote, "The additional water Haryana is asking for amounts to just 0.0001% of the reservoir's storage." Punjab Chief Minister Bhagwant Mann accused the centre of using the BBMP to pressure his state and claimed Haryana had already used 103% of its allocation in March. He also urged the centre to divert waters from rivers such as Chenab, Jhelum and Uj to meet the demand in northern states ahead of the paddy season. Mr. Saini responded by saying, "In April and May, there is no paddy cultivation in Punjab and Haryana. The water released during these months is only for drinking." The Bhakra and Pong dams are critical to the water supply of Punjab, Haryana and Rajasthan and remain central to the long-standing dispute over the incomplete Satluj-Yamuna link canal. US President Donald Trump has said that trade negotiations with India are progressing well and a deal may be finalized soon. Quote, "I think we'll have a deal with India," unquote, President Trump told reporters outside the White House. Quote, "The Prime Minister, as you know, was here 3 weeks ago and they do want to make a deal," unquote. His comments follow a statement by US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who told CNBC that a trade agreement had already been reached with India and was now awaiting formal approval from the Indian side. Lutnick said, and I quote, "I have a deal done, but I need to wait for their prime minister and their parliament to give its approval." U.S. Secretary of State Scott Bessent also noted that the two countries were very close to finalizing the agreement, possibly within days. According to reports, India may offer the U.S. a rare forward most favored nation clause as a part of its proposed trade deal. This would mean that any more favorable tariffs India agrees to with other countries in future would automatically apply to the US. Reuters, citing officials with direct knowledge of this deal, said this provision would future-proof the deal. India has reportedly made extensive offers, including tariff concessions on up to 90% in tariff lines, with some key sectors such as agriculture, frozen meats, fish, poultry, fruits and juices, potentially seeing duty reductions from as high as 100% to between 0 and 5%. These discussions cover 19 of the 24 main trade categories between the two nations, with remaining issues like soybeans, corn, and military equipment expected to be addressed in the second phase. In return, India is seeking favorable terms for its labor-intensive sectors, including textiles, leather goods, toys, furniture, and gems and jewelry. It is also pushing for long-term preferential access for pharmaceuticals and industrial equipment. The Trump administration is aiming to finalize the deal before the 90-day pause on reciprocal tariffs and in July. Meanwhile, China has launched a strong rebuttal to U.S. trade policies. In a video released by Foreign Minister, Beijing accused Washington of economic aggression, referencing to past U.S. trade actions against Japan and France. China would not kneel down, the video declared, framing the U.S. as a global bully and pledging to resist American tariff pressure. The U.S. has imposed up to 145% tariff on Chinese goods, with total levies potentially rising up to 245% by July. In response, China has hit back with 125% tariffs and vowed to fight back to the end. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV. Your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.